2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
I warned you when we started the morning we were going to talk a lot of snow and we were going to talk about a lot of fishing, and Navi's got some fish bites coming up for you in a minute. We'll talk about that ecosystem up at Bear Lake and all the reasons for the Cisco and how they fit into all of that nature up there. And then more about the Cisco Disco that's planned later in the month after the top of the hour when we check in with the Division of Wildlife Resources. But we're talking fishing here, ice fishing as a matter of fact, and Will Dykstra has been on with us, I don't know, Will, 2 or 3 years in a row, maybe longer than that, from Tight Lines. Tell everybody about what's coming up with you guys. You're back in Utah.
Yeah, Tim, you know, first and foremost, thanks for having me on. I believe this might actually be our fourth year doing this.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of fun coming to Utah. This the crowd and the angler in Utah is an absolute riot, and we really enjoy doing these events. And you know, and this year we've partnered with a veterans organization that's actually flying some veterans to these events, and they're our headlining sponsor. It's the Barn at Rock Fence is the name of this company. But anyhow, the big news with this is, you know, 2 years ago, we had an ATV for first place prize for the heaviest single fish.
Yeah.
And last year, we had $5,000 cash. And this year, we've stepped it up to a $10,000 first place prize for a fish, literally for catching a fish.
You doubled it from 1 year ago.
Exactly. And, you know, the thing that's unique about our events, you know, we talk a lot about it. We pre-drill all the holes, and there's no shelters allowed. And you're allowed to fish one line at a time. And basically, we've eliminated the cheating aspect, because sometimes it can be a challenge with ice fishing tournaments. And by having this as a four-hour event where we pre-drill all the holes, you don't need to bring an auger. If you're a newbie to ice fishing, all you need to do is bring a fishing rod. It doesn't even have to be a short rod. And you have a shot at winning $10,000 cash for catching a fish. It's not a tagged fish event. It's not a tagged fish first place prize, I should say. It is literally the heaviest single fish caught at Starvation Reservoir during the event on our course brings home $10,000 cash.
All right, so up at Starvation, which is now Fred Hay State Park, is it not?
It is. So we've had to do a little bit of rebranding with that, and it's, you know, it's the Ice Addiction or the Barn at Rock Fence Ice Addiction Tournament Series at Fred Hayes State Park at Starvation Reservoir.
There you go.
So Fred Hayes. Yep.
Yeah, just so nobody's confused. Hopefully that doesn't add confusion to it. What is the date of the event this year?
So it is January 25th.
Okay. You mentioned that by you guys drilling all of the holes up front, it prevented some cheating. Sometimes I hesitate to give details of how people actually cheat in these things because I don't want to give people ideas. It's like bomb-making information on the news, you know.
Right.
But I mean, in a nutshell, what were people doing that would lead to an advantage here?
You know, so basically by going pre-drilled holes and by eliminating the shelters aspect of this, it eliminates the ability for people to do something, no pun intended here, fishy with fish that they're bringing to the scale. You know, our fish have to be weighed live. You catch your fish and you immediately take it right up to the scale, and we weigh it live there and, you know, release the fish right there. So we're trying to leave as small an imprint on the or footprint on the fishery as we can. But as far as the cheating aspects goes, or the making sure that this is a fun, fair event, what we've done is we've put everybody on a level playing field. So say somebody that lives right there next to Starvation or Fred Hayes State Park, that fishes it every day that's got this special rock hump in the middle of nowhere has a significant advantage over somebody else. Now, that's not cheating by any means, but what we've done maybe more than anything, and maybe cheating isn't the right word, but we've leveled the playing field, if you will. We've made it to where people can't bring frozen fish that they caught two nights before or 2 months before that can be weighed at the end of the event, because a lot of times you have these tournaments where the fish don't have to be weighed live. You end up with frozen fish at the end of the day ice fishing. So now these fish have to be weighed live. People can visually see what other anglers are doing. So, you know, for the most part, there's a lot of self-policing that goes on out there, and it makes people a lot less likely to try to do something, you know, especially when we're talking about a $10,000 first place prize.
Well, it sounds like, though, and I'm just envisioning this with all these holes drilled on the ice, that for you guys to actually have to run around and weigh these things live, that keeps you fairly busy during the tournament.
It does keep us busy, and we've got, you know, so what alleviate the no shelters aspect, we have got a big, giant warming hut that's got buddy heaters blaring in it the whole time. People can come in and get warm, but that's also the location of our weigh station. So as soon as you catch the fish as an angler, you're bringing it up to the scale. And this year, if it's a trout this year, the Utah DWR is going to actually be there to help get those fish to the scale, you know, to alleviate that a little bit too. But it is a total riot. It's a lot of fun. Last year we had 5 different species caught. And the largest non-lake trout species we've ever had caught at any of our ice addiction events was actually at the starvation event last year.
I know the answer to this because I've been to your website, but give our listeners an idea of how many of these in the various tournaments that you do put on, when and how many a year and where.
You know, so this year last year we did 3 events, and this year we added one to the circuit here. We're actually going east of the I-25 corridor here in Colorado for the first time to a lake that's just east of Denver. But we do 4 events a year, and each event is a $45 entry fee. And again, it's not a collective $10,000 first place prize amongst the 4 events. It's each event is an individual event. So we've got our first one's coming up actually this coming weekend at Boyd Lake State Park in Loveland, Colorado. And then we're going to be out there at Fred Hayes State Park on the 25th. Then we come back the following weekend back out here to Colorado, that Jackson Reservoir, which is on the eastern plains of Colorado. And then we finish up with our grand finale, if you will, at Grand Lake, Colorado. And again, that's a mid-February event.
Mother Nature tends to mess with you sometime. I don't think that's going to be a problem for you this year. I think we've got good ice at Starvation.
You know, I've had people checking, including the park rangers over there, checking the ice conditions literally on a daily basis for us, and we've got great ice conditions right now, and with the forecast coming up, we expect to even build ice between now and then. And again, the fishing has been absolutely phenomenal out there. I've gotten reports of a lot of large rainbows being caught. The really nice browns, and there's actually a lot of walleyes biting too.
Okay. No limit to age on participation? Nope. In this?
Yep, no limit to age and participation of this. So basically, you know, a 8-year-old has just as good a shot as a seasoned, you know, 35-year-old fishing. So it's the same entry fee for everybody. And again, we've had it in the past. In fact, 2 years ago, we had a 14-year-old take second place and go home with a $3,000 prize package. So again, that's this whole leveling the playing field for everybody, and it's anybody's chance at winning, you know, catching that fish that wins $10,000.
Yeah, I've heard some people that get frustrated with that tag fish thing, and you know, 2 years later you're still catching fish with tags and you get nothing out of it. But this is so simple to understand, I think it's going to make it even more fun for people.
It absolutely does. And on top of that $10,000 first place prize, we're paying 30 places deep. So the 30 heaviest fish caught at the event will be awarded. And our lowest prize value is in that $150 to $200 range. So again, the bang for your buck is pretty good when you're talking about fishing one of these events.
Tell me about the entry fees.
So the entry fees are going to be, if you pre-register, so if you register online before the day of the event, it's a $45 entry fee, and that's per person. This isn't a team-style event. It's an individual event. And then that registration price goes up if you decide to walk up the morning of the event. And we definitely recommend pre-purchasing your ticket for a number of reasons. So how it works is at 5 a.m. we open registration or check-in, and you're actually not allowed to get onto the ice until you've been through check-in. And the earlier you buy your ticket, the earlier check-in time you have. So the people that bought their tickets when they went on sale in October are going to be able to get on the ice at 5 a.m. to choose the area that they want to fish. Now, this is not an assigned hole type of an event, and we drill 20 to 25% more holes than the people that register for the event. So you're not necessarily limited to fishing the hole that you start with. You can move around. In fact, a lot of guys move around in this event, and we make sure that we drill a surplus of holes to make sure that people can do that. But if you wait to register till the day of the event, that registration fee goes up $5 or $10. I believe it goes up to $50.
Yeah, and part of that is just knowing, you know, the crowd you might be dealing with. Tell everybody what your participation has been like the last couple of years.
You know, so the first year we were out there at Starvation, we had right around 650, close to that 700 mark, as far as participation goes. And then last year we were sitting right at about 600. And again, that was with a $5,000 first place prize last year and then the ATV the year prior. So this year, you know, we anticipate there being maybe a jump in the number of participants just based on that large prize package.
All right. So give them the date again and then a website where they can get going on this.
So you can register at tightlineoutdoors.com. And again, the Starvation or the Fred Hayes State Park at Starvation Reservoir event is going to be January 25th. And we're going to actually be hosting a meet and greet in town there in Duchesne, Utah, at the event center where there will be some food. So if you guys want to come and meet a bunch of the staff and meet a bunch of the other anglers fishing for the event, we definitely recommend doing that. But again, January 25th, Fred Hayes State Park, Starvation Reservoir, and you can register at tightlineoutdoors.com.
Awesome. Will, always great catching up with you. Good luck with the event this year. Sounds like a lot of fun.
All right, Tim. Hey, thanks for having me on. And as usual, hopefully we talk to you here soon.
All right. And when we come back, of course. Oh, by the way, if you get a chance that weekend, we'd love to catch up with you just to know how things went, too.
Absolutely. I'd love to check in with you guys. Maybe if maybe post award ceremony, we can give you an update or something and let you know what we have going on.
I love it. We'll have listeners that are wondering. Stay with us when we come back. It's Fish Bites time. We'll continue talking fishing, this time Bear Lake, and our resident fish specialist will explain all about the ecosystem at that beautiful body of water here in Utah. Navi and Fish Bites is next.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
About a little fella, black and blue with the hands of yellow, the bluegill boogie, bluegill boogie, yeah, the bluegill boogie, bluegill boogie. The bass ain't biting and the trout are gone. Try the bluegill boogie, you can't go wrong.
All right, time for some Fish Bites. He's the first to tell you he's a dancer, and obviously he's not a singer.
People say, you sing solo. Solo, nobody can hear you.
Si, solo, we cannot hear you. Yeah. That's an old Tiki Room joke at Disneyland. All right, you wanted to focus on, we're going to be talking, hopefully, with Scott Tolentino. We tried to reach out to him a minute ago and have failed so far, but he's an aquatic biologist with the DWR. He's going to join us after ABC News at the top of the hour to talk about the Cisco Disco.
Right.
But you wanted to sort of chime in on that.
Yeah, well, I just want to talk a little bit about it. The Prosimium gimmophore.
The what?
Prosimium gimmophore.
Can we just call them Ciscos?
Yeah. Gimmifer, something like that. This is a whitefish strain, but he's, indicative of Great Bear Lake, well, Bear Lake, and what was Bonneville. So he's a descendant of Lake Bonneville, and he is a krill consumer. Krill, you know what krill is?
Yeah.
And that's why it has to be that way, because what people don't understand about Bear Lake, as I find, is that there's no photosynthesis. And no photosynthesis can occur because of the limestone manganate, which is the blue, basically the blue that you get with glacial melt, creates a greater albedo, which is a reflection of the sun. It acts like a filter. So ultraviolet rays can't reach the bottom of the lake, and therefore there are no plants. And if there are no plants, then you have no insects and no insects, and then basically, you know, the ecosystem goes from there. So what you have is a kind of a fish that consumes what is in the water, which is plankton. Baleen whales eat this too.
Right.
Yeah, krill. But that is the forage for the other fish, specifically the Bear Lake Cut and the Mac. Now, the Bear Lake Cut is a strain of his own. He's a one of a kind. He's a unique guy. The Bonneville Cut is called Unkerheinisches Clarke, Utah. Clark from the Lewis and Clark expedition, he's the one that chronicled them. That's why we hold Clark. And then the Utah strain, that's the Bonneville Cut. But Bear Lake, when it receded, became a completely independent fish. I mean, he has the same origins of even the Liahontan and the Bonneville, but he's a Bear Lake, and he's a one of a kind. And that's what we put into strawberry. You know, when we wanted to cut down on the chub population. Right. I thought, well, we'll put browns in there. Brown trout's a great one. But no, they went with a unique thing, which is the Bonneville. Wasn't the Bonneville. Sorry, the Bear Lake Cut. And so he's Unkerheinisches Bear Lake. No Clarke. And he's gorgeous. And, of course, the Mac exists there. Also, we have Prosimium Williamsoni, which is the whitefish. But he is a different strain, too. He's a what we call a Bear Lake White. And so he has a different strain, just a little varying from Prosimium Williamsoni, which we find in all of our rivers, all the whitefish there. And by the way, the whitefish is a much maligned fish in the state of Utah. And I have no idea why, because...
Well, I think part of the problem is, and we saw this when we took your class,
yeah,
everybody wants to catch... the browns when you're fishing in the river, yeah, and a white gets on and you go, ugh.
Well, I don't know why. I mean, anything that pulls on my rod, I like. And it's a lot of fun to catch these fish.
Yeah.
And you know what? If I don't recommend eating them because of the mercury levels. But if you're going to eat a fish and you want to contrast trout and whites, whitefish all the way.
What's the meat more like? Is it?
Well, there's more of it, for one thing. You know, people says they're bony. The opposite. They're all flesh. These fish, yes, it's true, Tim, whitefish can't jump. But my point is they have shoulders in fly fishing vernacular. It means they're really strong.
Good fighters.
And they're strong because they're all muscle.
Yep.
So that meat is phenomenal. What you want to do, I like to put them in a smoker, I like to put them on the grill. Just wrap them in dill weed and then just let them just smoke and smoke and then pull that skin back and just turn them over and then eat them with crackers is phenomenal.
Is it more of a fishy taste than the...
Well, it's a little cleaner taste. It's a less fishy taste. It's, well, like what you get in the restaurant. In fact, it's the Montana state dish. Whitefish is the Montana state dish.
Really?
So whitefish is phenomenal, and the Bear Lake is as clean as it could be. You got some mercury, but not nearly as much up there. And anyway... Bear Lake is a great fishery.
But we're going to talk after the top of the hour about the Cisco. It's a big part of the ecosystem up there.
Absolutely. If without the Cisco, which eat krill, you wouldn't have the chain of events which supports the cut or the Mac.
There you go.
So that's what feeds them, and they at great depth.
Have you ever gone up to do the Cisco netting?
I have not.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
But I remember watching great videos when Doug Miller was around. He'd go up there and do it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Adam Eagles made the trip,
Four out of 5 years, it's frozen over. But I don't think it is this year. The last I looked, it's not frozen up. So get out there, you know, thigh deep with a net. I guess we'll hear about it when we get the guy on the show.
That's a perfect segue. I want to get another plug in for your classes, though.
Wildtrouts.com. I still have room in both classes. I have a Wednesday night and a Tuesday night. You will be skunk proof and you'll have a good time.
He's not lying. We used to kid him about it, but everybody gets on fish. They may not do it if he's not there standing behind him going,
set, that's a
you
fish.
You gotta have the squawk.
That's a fish.
Anyway, wildtrouts at AOL. No, wildtrouts.com.
Right. Wildtrouts at AOL.com is my email.
All right, good. I think we have the right number now to get a hold of our guest coming up after the top of the hour. Fingers crossed. Enjoy might be the wrong word. Listen
to the ABC News update coming up next. We'll come back and talk more Bear Lake fishing and specifically the Cisco Disco when we come back.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.